We now call to order special court session, Orange County Commissioners Court. Today is January 3rd, 2017, and the time is 2 p.m. And Commissioner Crump, please lead us in our invocation.
Father, we thank you for the blessings in life that you show us. Father, we thank you for loving us as you do every day. Father, we thank you for taking care of us, Father, even when we tell you we're amiss and we don't take the time to spend with you, Father, and we ask amiss, Father, we thank you for what you do in our lives every day. Father, we thank you for preparing a place for us in the future, Father. Spend all eternity with you as long as we accept you as our Savior, Father. We just thank you for everyone being present today in court, taking time out of their lives, Father, to be involved in their local government, Father. We thank you for all the individuals that put their life on the line every day, Father, our first responders, our military individuals, all those individuals that have that inkling to get out there and take care of those problems, Father. We thank you for those individuals. Pray a special blessing on those individuals, Father, and their families. We thank you for all our new elected officials that were sworn in Sunday, Father. I just pray that we could do all of our work according to your will, Father, and what you want to do. Thank you so much again for loving us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you, Commissioner Crump.
Yes, sir.
We have all members of the court present, and a special welcome here to Commissioners Precinct 1 and 3.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to skip approval of the minutes. The special court session held on December 20th, 2016 at 2 p.m. as circulated and move on to agenda item number 1. Number 1, discussion and possible action regarding approval of the monthly reports from the county treasurer for month ending November 30th, 2016, and recording in the minutes of the court A, approval of investments and super investments, general fund, tex pool, and Texas class in the amount of $3,901.83, B, approval of interest earned to date in the amount of $10,115.56, C, treasurer's report of revenues received and dispersed in accordance with the local government code 114.026D, and affidavit of approval by court. This report will be available on the county's website for viewing. And D, pledged security collateral for a total of $68,003,119.15. Summary as follows. Wells Fargo Bank, $54,343,022.87. And First Financial Bank, $13,660,096.28.
Make a motion to approve the reports as filed.
Second.
4-2. Any further discussion? We'll start with Precinct 1.
Aye.
2.
Aye.
Aye. 3.
Aye.
4.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. It's good. Unanimous. Out the gate. Item number 2, discussion and possible action regarding filing in the minutes of the court revenue received from Orangefield ISD, check number 87174, for $5,251.40. These funds are reimbursement for road materials.
So moved.
I will second. So, for Judge, any further discussion? Or with Precinct 1?
Aye.
2?
Aye.
Aye. 3? 4.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. Agenda item number 3. Discussion of possible action regarding adoption by resolution of the court, the 2017 investment policy as required by Government Code Chapter 2256.005E, which is required to be reviewed and adopted by the court annually. And the resolution of acceptance reads as follows. Be it resolved that the Orange County Commissioners Court of Orange County, Texas, is authorized to issue a resolution of acceptance to file in the minutes of the court the current 2017 investment policy and is in compliance with Local Government Code 116.112 and Government Code Chapter 2256.005E. Passed and approved and adopted by the Commissioners Court of the County of Orange. on this day, the third day of January 2017. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
1-3. Any further discussion?
Just the name changes, Christy?
Just the year.
Okay. Just the year.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Sort of precinct one.
Aye.
2.
Aye.
Aye. 3.
Aye.
4. Aye. 5-0. Item number 4, discussion and possible action regarding payment of bills approved by the county auditor as per attested listings and also specifically as follows. A, $404,645.51 to Texas Association of Counties Health and Employees Benefits Pool from the General Fund, account 001-101-51270 for group medical, dental, life, and retiree insurance under the age of 65 years for January 2017. B, $47,144.00 to Texas Association of Counties Risk Management Pool from the General Fund, account 001-101-52345 for first quarter workers' compensation payment due January 2017. C, $21,652.83 to UTMB from the General Fund, account 001-111-54235 for contract payment due January 2017. And D, $66,394.31 to United Healthcare from the General Fund, account 001-101-51270 for retiree group health insurance for 65 years of age and older for the month of January 2017.
And also for approval, these amounts are included in the following. General Fund, $683,282.93. Road and Bridge, $54,487.73. Mosquito Control, $1,007.17. Adult Probation, $2,075.84. Other Funds, $24,442.51. For a total of $765,296.18. And also for approval for December 27th, the bills for the General Fund, $13,841.16. Road and Bridge, $809.08. Adult Probation, none. Other Funds, $214.12. For a total for December 27th of $14,864.36.
Make a motion that we pay the bills as listed by the auditor.
Second.
In keeping with the long-standing tradition of that coming from
precinct one. I don't think he believed me when I told him that. I think he thought I was trying to set him up to approve the $750,000 payment.
I was pretty sure of it, actually. I was pretty sure of it.
Okay. Any further discussion on payment of bills for the week of December 27th and January 3rd?
Just note again for the rate, it's the two.
Just two separate, right. Yeah. All right. Start with precinct one.
Aye.
Two.
Aye.
Aye. Three.
Aye.
Four.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. Agenda item number 5, discussion and possible action regarding approval for the two new commissioners to go over the travel policy hotel daily limit for the newly elected commissioners conference being held on January 10th, 2017 in Austin, Texas. The room cost is $154.00 plus tax per night for 3 nights.
Didn't we talk one time about changing that so we wouldn't have these?
We did. I think we're just waiting to get some for specific for different cities that will probably have help alleviate this problem in the future.
Judge, I make a motion we pay the $154 plus taxes.
Okay, so again?
Per night for 3 nights for the travel.
Okay, so 2-4?
Yes.
All right. It's for one room or two rooms?
Yeah, y'all sharing?
No, I'm not sharing.
Oh. Okay. And I envision in my head planes, trains, and automobiles.
That's not a pillow.
Yeah, Joe. Yeah, no. Yeah.
Fluffy pillow.
All
right.
So precinct 1.
Hey.
2.
Aye.
Aye. 3.
Aye.
4.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. Agenda item number 6. Discussion and possible action regarding approval of an order to regulate sale of retail fireworks in Orange County. Let's see. Here is our
is this different from what we had adopted before, Judge, or we have to
yes.
do it every year?
It's you have to do it each year.
Okay.
So it's just the same.
Yeah, it's just
it's inclusive of the two extra dates.
Can we add anything to that it's about not doing it after midnight? At least on my street?
Just on your street.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna find it here in my stack of stuff. Maybe I left it. Okay, well, we'll come back to that one. Agenda item number 7, discussion and possible action regarding approval of the bonds for the following elected officials. County Commissioner Precinct number 1, Johnny Trahan. County Commissioner Precinct number 3, John Gauthier. County Court at Law number 2, Judge Troy Johnson. County Attorney John Kimbrough. Sheriff Keith Merritt, County Clerk Brandy Robertson, Tax Assessor Collector Karen Fisher. We will be skipping Justice of the Peace Precinct number 1 and Constable Precinct number 1. So for the ones for today, we'll continue on with Constable Precinct number 2, David Cagle, Constable Precinct number 3, Mark Philpott, Constable Precinct number 4, Lane Mooney.
I'll make a motion to pay the bonds of the list that was read, excluding Justice of the Peace 1 and Constable Precinct 1.
Okay. Second.
We will follow up with those next week. We'll go with Precinct 1.
Aye.
2.
Aye.
Aye. 3.
Aye.
4.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. Agenda item number 8, discussion and possible action regarding approving a line item transfer in the Sheriff's Department from account 001-740-52900, motor vehicle repairs in the amount of $1,000.00. Going to account 001-740-57590, general machinery and equipment, amount of $1,000.00. Purpose, to purchase a Tensco card and media storage filing cabinet for dispatch.
Didn't we do this? Or did we just approve doing it? We're just putting
the
money in.
We didn't transfer
the
funds, right.
I'll do. So moved.
Thank
you. Judge 4, any further discussion? Start with precinct. 4.
Aye.
3.
Aye.
Aye. 2.
Aye.
1.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. Agenda number 9, discussion and possible action for authorization from the Orange County Commissioner's Court to allow the Orange County Sheriff's Office to apply for the body-worn camera grant program through the Office of the Governor in the Criminal Justice Division. The deadline for the grant to be submitted is January 15th, 2017. This grant is a 75%, 25% match, with the county paying the 25%. The sheriff's office will fund the 25% match for this grant. And as a, since that's what was written, I think there was a last-minute change, or at least update, to where it is an 80-20 match now. So I did want to make that clarification. But, so anything you want to say about it, Sheriff? Or, okay. And the 20%, those funds will be coming from out of what was budgeted or out of drug forfeiture funds, or where are the 20% going
to
be?
Well, what we're trying to use some stuff we've already done. It's in kind because okay. We allow in kind.
Okay.
Match to be used as the match, so that's what we're trying to do now. We really want to know if they don't improve the in kind, then we'll be funding them out of our drug forfeiture.
Okay.
And also, too, Sheriff, I know this is kind of the cart before the horse because we have to give you permission to go ahead and submit this application before it even kind of gets the ball rolling. But a couple of questions was, one, it's that you have to have all the policies in place before refunding can start. So I'm assuming you're already working on the policy part of that.
Working on the policy.
Okay.
It has to be in place before you actually receive the grant.
Reimbursements.
There's not a lot of money that's out there for this particular grant for the whole state of Texas. So, you know, we're guaranteed that we're going to
right.
get the grant.
Right. But, hey, but I agree to try for it. Second one was the Immigration and Customs Enforcement request on that about the Department of Homeland Security, all of that. You're okay with all of that? And the only reason I ask that is because it says in here that if we fall out of compliance with that, that we have to reimburse the funds back to the Criminal Justice Division. Okay. And then it says that the applicant, that we have to upload a copy of a resolution from the governing body. So do you have any kind of template for that?
I think Captain Marlow has the resolution.
Okay.
He was the one that was working on the grant.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, sir. I have drafted a resolution as to what the Office of the Governor suggested. I can leave a copy of that with the court. And it can be amended in this place.
Perfect. Okay. That's what that's just a question. I appreciate you even applying for this grant, too, Sheriff. It's good to help our officers and our county, too. So I appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll get you a clean copy.
Okay.
Did you get any motions, Judge?
Not yet.
So moved.
Second.
All right, we'll do 4-3. Any further discussion? We're with Precinct 1.
Aye.
2.
Aye.
Aye. 3.
Aye.
4.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. Agenda item number 10, discussion of possible action regarding the federal labor law injunction in regards to changes to the employee pay matrix in accordance with the Department of Labor, FLSA, new proposed rule on exempt, non-exempt status dated December 1st, 2016.
Just realized I was so worried about getting their package.
It's okay. They have one I can look off of.
I got it. Thank you.
Okay. This is in reference to what the Department of Labor had came out with and we had looked at in June here in court about the proposed rule for exempt and non-exempt. In your packet, you'll see the minutes from that court session. The second page is the pay matrix that we are working under right now and what we're working on as of June. In June, they had decided that in 12-1 that we would lift the amount paid to the exempt employees, and that's the third page shows that that's the new pay matrix that would have gone in effect to 12-1. On 11-22, there was an injunction put against this overtime rule. So on that date, we looked at it and reviewed it and decided that because of the way the wording was in the agenda item, that it was the new proposed rule and the rule didn't go into effect, it was not paid at that time at that rate. It's been brought to our attention that we should relook at that and decide on whether or not we want to go forward with what the court had decided they want to go ahead with the pay increase or stay at the regular rate. Did I explain that or am I confusing? I've said it a bunch of times.
Well, I remember all of this going through back in June. And yeah, at the time it was, we adopted this change in anticipation of what, of this proposed rule going into effect. There is an injunction, there is no answer that we know of yet on how long it'll last or if or what. So yeah, we just need to decide, do we want to continue operating under the pay matrix as it existed on November 30th, 2016, or do we want to go to the one that we intended to go to on December 1st, 2016.
Well, I mean, the whole reason we made the change was in anticipation of this new law. And it says in the motion, I think the treasurer was correct, and we did this specifically in accordance with the Department of Labor law. It did not go into effect, so correct me if I'm wrong, Kristen, we've not paid this yet.
Correct.
I say we just continue as is, the current pay rate, until this goes into effect.
Well, I guess one of the questions that I would have, number one, is did we budget it for this coming year?
It is.
And then my second question would be, depending on how long this injunction lasts, let's say it passes and then go ahead and approve it as it stands before. Would we be reliable for going back and paying that starting back on December 1st?
I wouldn't think so because it goes into effect on that date.
Okay.
So they cannot go retroactive.
The stuff I've read on the injunction was that you could start from the date after the injunction is, I guess you'd say, full or settled.
Plus, you risk running afoul of the Texas constitutional provision against retroactive compensation.
Okay.
So, my opinion would be that you would not have to do it. I would be very if they required us to go back and pay that back pay.
If we do stay where we are right now, do we need to go back and modify that policy?
What policy?
The changes that we had made in June.
We had
a matrix to go into place when the law changed.
Right.
But that matrix has never been implemented.
Because the law hasn't changed yet.
So it's just sitting idly by.
Right.
We don't need to make any changes.
So is that both subject to the Department of Labor? Clarifying what the rule will be?
Well, the way I read the minutes is they say that, you know, to adopt changes to the employee pay matrix in accordance with the Department of Labor new proposed rule on exempt, non-exempt status. I mean, it's still the proposed rule. That hasn't changed. There's just been an injunction on it going into effect. Our motion wasn't contingent on it going into effect or not going into effect. It was just, we're going to change this in accordance with this new proposed rule. And that's why we budgeted
And just some of the research that I read on it last night about the reasoning behind it is because, not necessarily us, but there were places that were behind the pay scale of what those like jobs would have been. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm just trying to do my research last night to make sure I was up to date, but it's about that thick of paperwork. So I tried to get to the stuff that meant something, and it was basically saying that us and companies or business, whatever it would be, were below that rate for those particular jobs. And so we would be basically getting up to that rate regardless whether we were told to do it or not, right, by the government.
Right, and with the new administration coming in, they could lower that rate or raise that rate. Mm-hmm. We don't know.
But it also says the proposed rule to go into effect on December 1st, and it did not go into effect on December 1st.
Yeah.
So,
based on what the judge was saying, you believe you voted for the raise regardless of what happened with the Department of Labor? Is that what I'm hearing?
The way I remember it was that we didn't say we're going to adopt this unless it doesn't go into effect. It was, this is what we're going to adopt, and it's going to be effective December 1st. We did it because of a proposed new rule. The new rule hasn't started yet. It's still proposed. But
so for it to stay in effect, do we need to change our motion to state that regardless of the rule being
put in place? We need to make a motion to clarify what the court's pleasure is at this point.
Go ahead and pay as is, as we originally decided.
Of course, you can vote to remain in the status quo, which means not pay it until there's a resolution, or the court could decide to go ahead and pay it.
Yeah.
Understand, if you go ahead and pay it, you're not going to be able to get that money back from those employees at a future date.
Oh, so I understand.
It's whatever the court decides to do, but I do think there needs to be a motion to clarify.
Well, and again, the only reason we did it is because this rule was, we are anticipating to go into effect December 1st. So
let me ask a question. Based on what was passed, do we still owe these employees from December 1st to whenever we repeal it?
Well, that's another good question.
The problem you have is a problem with the constitutional provision against retroactive compensation. You can't go back and pay people retroactively under the Texas Constitution.
What I was going is according to what I thought I heard from the judge, is that it was voted to go ahead and give them those raises on a proposed, rather, it didn't say whether it was going to go through or not, so did we agree to pay them from that December 1st to whatever time we repeal it? We're not talking about retroactive. So what did we vote on the first time? If we voted to give them that raise, then I think we're obligated to pay that until whenever we repeal it.
Well, the minutes, I mean, I'm not advocating one way or the other. Just to present a point of clarification, it says when to go into effect on December 1st, 2016. I think as Commissioner Burton correctly pointed out, it did not go into effect December 1st, 2016. But yeah, nevertheless, the court needs to make a clarification. Yeah.
So here's the question I have. Did the Department of Labor rule that we're talking about here, was it set to go into effect, the law itself, on December 1st?
Yes.
So that's what we're referring to pay this new proposed rule on exempt, non-exempt, that goes into effect December 1st. Well, that never happened.
It didn't, because the injunction was issued on November 22nd.
But what we were looking at in our office is the Attorney General, when he issued the injunction, and it said the new rule will not take effect on December the 1st, 2016, anywhere in the nation. So, I mean...
Right. The legal obligation to do it is not in effect anywhere in the nation. Right.
Exactly.
And that was the entire reason that we had it on here, was because of the law that was to go into effect that did not.
But it still brought to light the fact that we had, that those particular departments or those jobs were under the average pay scale. And that's what that...
No, under the new federal mandate.
Under the new, okay.
We had four, correct me if I'm wrong, Lori, four people that were affected to different varying degrees.
Yes. Right.
So,
I mean, I may be in the minority in this. The way I read it and the way I understood it at the time was that this was going to go into effect unless the court made some change. The court, I mean, we can make a change today on January 3rd, but I was under the assumption that even with the injunction, it was still in effect on December 1st. And whatever hours they worked would be paid accordingly to this matrix as it existed on December 1st. Unless we came back and said, all right, never mind, there's an injunction, we want to roll it back to what it was before December 1st, but they would still be paid for December 1st to now.
I think that's my understanding.
What date did the injunction come in?
11/22.
Yeah, I mean, it's a month and a half later.
So we need to clarify what we actually did and then figure out what we're going to do with that 6-5 week period. And I think, to me, it sounds like we're obligated for the 5 week period regardless of what we do here. We can either vote to continue with it or vote to repeal it.
Well, I don't know that we're obligated. It's going to be an interpretation of how we see it. I see it as December 1st was the day this started, unless we took some action to stop it. Because we didn't put any contingency on this, on the motion. It didn't say, unless it does not go into effect December 1st. We just said, to go into effect.
And to me, I read that as the law goes into effect December 1st as well, and that didn't happen.
I understand.
What does our legal say? I mean, how do you
read
that?
Legal says you have a decision to make.
I understand we have a decision to make, but what I'm saying is what is the legal interpretation of how it was wrote to begin with? Can we move forward with what they're talking about and pay that previous 6 weeks and not be a retro payment?
I mean, your decision as to what you're going to do while the injunction is pending or while the case is pending, you can make that decision today. Where I think you may have a problem is a retroactive compensation.
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to say with you. I don't think we can go back the 5 or 6 weeks because that would be retro, and we can't do that.
That is legally my interpretation of the Texas Constitution.
Okay, and so what we would want to do would be moving forward from, I guess.
And from an HR standpoint, I mean, this has got our matrix just totally...
It does. I mean, the matrix was set up with percentages in between, and whenever we put those... we changed, 6 different steps in it. It throws those percentages off. But
another thing, too, Counselor, the injunction right now, that injunction
correct me if I'm wrong, that could be 3, 4, 5 years down the road before that's actually clarified?
It could be. In addition, you know, another wrench in the works would be, what would the Trump administration do whenever they take over here in a couple of weeks? Maybe they reverse that rule and pull that back. And then that would cause there to be no justiciable controversy in the case. The case would be dismissed.
Right.
Let's see.
My impression was that we were changing the policy, the actual pay matrix policy. And as I said a while ago, change the policy. And then when that law goes into effect on December the 1st, that's when that policy would take effect automatically. That was my impression. But with the law not going into effect, and as Christy said, that policy still sits idly by.
Correct, Lori?
So
that's my
I don't know if it's a policy, though. I mean, it's pay matrix.
Well, the pay matrix that was adjusted to go into effect based on the new law.
Right.
Because that was the hot topic at all the schools.
Yeah, all the businesses, everyone, it's coming. And we go back to the point, the only reason we took this action was because of this law. And this law's not in effect now, we don't know when.
Well, and some of the stuff we read was that some of the courts chose to put that pay into effect on October 1st, and some, like our court, wait until December 1st. And they said that if you put it into effect October 1st, you should continue because you've already started paying them. But if you wait it till December 1st to hold off till it, I mean, we've read it both ways in the county.
Well, and there are several counties that actually took the employees that were affected and made them, took them from the exempt status to non-exempt status. So in the event that there was, you know, overtime that they got paid for.
I think Hardin County said they only had one position affected, so, and they also went October 1st. I think they're going to keep it just because it's one person. And it wasn't a big impact on their budget.
We have four people.
Four, I think.
My consideration would be that we continue as planned as it was to begin with, since it has already been budgeted for next year and moving forward. And because I'm sure the people affected are very well aware of.
Well, if they'd gotten a check already, mm-hmm. I'd be with you 100% on that. Not taking it back.
They probably should have.
That was my interpretation of it, but mm-hmm. it hadn't happened. So, I mean,
like I said, just reading what I read last night, and I still go back to that, but I read that, I know it was an intent, was to bring those particular job levels throughout to that level. To a fair pay level, and that's kind of what I was, you know, when that's what I got out of just reading what I read the law about and what the intent of it was. Not what our future would be, but what we were in the past, that we weren't up to that level to begin with. So,
well, but then again, you look at it nationwide, mm-hmm. do we fall high or low on that region? I mean, there was nothing in this law that was regionalized. It was just one number across 50 states, correct?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, it applies in San Francisco as much as...
Yeah, well, I know.
The CLL here is a lot different than it is in San Francisco.
Yeah. What's that?
Well, we got to correct it somewhere.
Right. So it's kind of hard to take that point into consideration when the cost of living is so different all across the country.
I agree.
Okay. Well, Judge, I'll make a motion. I'll make a motion that we will continue on our current pay matrix until a point where the Department of Labor's new proposed rule is either put into effect or we get a resolution on the injunction to dictate whether or not we would have to implement the new Department of Labor mandated minimum salary for exempt.
Okay, so as a point of clarification, when you say our current pay matrix, you mean the one that went up to November 30th?
Well, yes.
And that we're still operating
under? Yeah, that we're still operating under, yes.
Okay.
Counselor? Is that worded appropriately by the law?
Well, it wasn't really as much of a matter of law as a matter of policy. But, yeah, okay. I mean, if the intent is to continue paying the employees what was being paid before November 30th, then that is correct word.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the motion is to continue on the, as if we never implemented any change, is what the motion is.
Operate under the old matrix.
Old slash current, I guess, whatever. Yeah.
Okay. Second.
2-4. Any further discussion? Precinct 1.
A.
Aye.
Okay. Aye.
2.
Aye.
No. 3.
No.
4.
Aye.
Motion passes 3-2. Agenda item number 11. Open up the court session for comments from the court and citizens on items which may or may not need to be placed on the following week's agenda for consideration. Each person addressing the court may be limited to 3 minutes. I want to say welcome again to our two new members of the court. As you can see, this is going to be a lot of fun. So, really welcome, and I'm glad you guys are here.
We need to go back to the.
Well, I'll come back to it later.
Okay.
That one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We'll have to go back and get it out of the courtroom.
Did we put minutes from the previous meeting?
Mm-hmm. They're not ready.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you have an addendum?
Yes. Thank you. Yes, there is an addendum. All right.
Week vacation got you short.
Sorry, yeah. Sorry about that. We can get there eventually. Okay, addendum number 1. Discussion and possible action regarding closing one or more county buildings for scheduled maintenance and or facility improvements in 2017. All right. All right, Bill.
The list that I gave you guys, that's the what the contractor is proposing to install the units in different buildings. On page 2, the second item from the bottom is the courthouse. They are proposing to do the work on March the 22nd through the 24th. Okay, that'd be a Wednesday, Thursday, and a Friday. I've talked with them. They're in agreement to start work on Friday the 24th, work Saturday, Sunday, and then that following Monday, you know, to complete whatever needs to be completed. They're not asking that we, you know, shut the courthouse down. They're asking that it just be minimal. No court in session, just employees. There will not be air conditioning during those 2 days. Anyway, we need to, get with all the judges and see what their schedule's like and see if there's something that we can make happen.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that they're willing to work with us on doing it over a weekend to have less of an impact on the courthouse operations.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm Philip Noland with the maintenance department.
So does that go across the board, Philip, whenever they say close the building, maybe to public access, we still have employees here? Like in the administration building, when they come work here, or do we mean close it down the building?
Really too early to tell, yes.
I guess part of it, when we talked last week, it was, I think we were both thinking they were going to have to close the entire courthouse at that point in time. So it's good they made a clarification that they don't need to close the whole building.
Correct.
But they're asking for minimal operations. I guess, Doug, as the court, because we're still going to have the building open, and those are all elected offices over there, do we have any ability to tell them not to hold court or just give them notice there's not going to be any air conditioning if you don't? I mean, I don't know if we can instruct them.
Yeah, I think you give them the notice. The commissioner's court has the power to close the courthouse.
Right.
But, yeah, beyond that, it's either an all or nothing sort of thing. So I would suggest that we just let them know we're not going to have air conditioning that day.
Okay.
And then they can adjust their schedules accordingly.
So would that be, I guess, would the court need to take action to at least approve them to work on the courthouse on those days, and probably, we just notify?
Probably because of the weekend that's involved, that might be a good idea to go ahead and do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let me ask you this, Phil. Is this more an inconvenience because there's no air conditioning, or there's going to be construction in the hallways? It's going to be a problem with people, 50 people coming and going, you know?
It's, no, they're not going to do anything inside the building. Okay. They're going to have a big crane there because they're actually changing the chiller out, the AC unit that's up on the roof, you know, for the fresh air. Right. So there's going to be a big crane involved, and then the fact that there's not going to be any air conditioning.
Okay, so they're not dropping ceiling panels and running ductwork and all that.
No, not on these dates, no.
Okay.
I have AC, and I'm renting office space for $1,000.
That's true. You're separate, so
Are you asking us to adopt this list as presented, or is this sort of a guideline?
That's just a guideline.
Yeah, okay. That's how we're going to.
So, what action
is
are
this
we
sort of a notification to all the different departments? Is that what that would be, sort of?
Yeah.
Instead of saying we're going to close.
I think originally they were planning on, you know, the possibility of closing the courthouse on that Friday and Monday, and I think it's the pleasure of the court not to do that at this point. So, I think you take no action.
Okay. All right, then we will take no official action, but we will ensure that all of the offices over there are notified that those dates, there is planned construction and maintenance at this time, and that there will be no air conditioning or heating in the building on those days.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Phil.
Mm-hmm. So this is Kurt. Am I missing any more addendums?
Okay. Can we move on? Okay.
Thank you for the reminder. I appreciate it. Okay, so back to item 11, which is the open court session. This is a welcome. Happy New Year to everybody out there. I'm glad to see everybody back. The only other thing I wanted to say is since we have had a change in some of the court membership, Commissioner David Dubose was the judge pro tem at that time, and also keeping with kind of the tradition of having the most senior commissioner fill that role, Commissioner Jody Crump will be our judge pro tem. I didn't ask him, I'm just telling him.
He's got a look.
I'm not by the look on his face.
Surprise. So, congratulations. There's a big pay raise that comes with it, too.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. That's all I have.
Well, again, I'd like to echo your welcome to our new members of Commissioner's Court and look forward to working with you guys and recognize some of the new elected officials we have out in the audience. You're welcome, and congratulations to y'all as well. Today was the last day for one of our guys in Roden Bridge Precinct 2. Joseph Caesar's retiring after 31 years of service to the county, and he's done a wonderful job, and that kind of takes me into what Roden Bridge has done for me in Precinct 2 this last year. Greenwood Acres has been a notorious sore spot for everyone because of drainage. A lot of flooding, a lot of issues. We worked this year with the Drainage District and Roden Bridge, and we've made some big efforts out there, and I want to thank them in this forum for what they've done. And let me just read you a text I got Sunday. Got 4 inches of rain and water. 4 inches of rain and water receded off my yard, exclamation point. Very good way to start the new year. So we're seeing some effect from all that hard work, and it's going to save some people a lot of trouble and maybe save some property. So thank you all again for what y'all done out there.
Thank you.
We're looking forward to this new year. We're looking forward to new opportunities, and hope that we can work together to make a big difference in this county.
I welcome all the new elected officials, all of them, because we've got them scattered all over the county. I thought it was rather telling what the judge said Sunday at the swearing-in ceremony about welcome to all the new elected officials. You know, you ran. That's great that you did that. And all those that got reelected, you knew better. So I thought that was very telling. But welcome to all the new elected officials.
Thank you. Well, I'd just like to say I'm glad to be here, and I look forward to next 4 years and what we can get accomplished and what we can work towards and growing this county and making it a great place to live and a great place to raise our families and continue that work and moving forward with that. And thank you all for welcoming me here. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody in the audience have anything? Yes.
This is the 3 minute thing, right?
Yes, sir. You can come on up so they can get through, get you on the recording.
My name is Jimmy Burnett. I live on West Bluff Road. And the reason that I'm here, gentlemen, is I know that some of you have heard rumors about what's going on down there on this road. I have lived out in Precinct 1 all of my life. And this was a county road up until a couple of, well, until 68, but the county maintained it up until a couple of years ago when it was discovered the city annexed this road from Elmira on down to where it ended there at the West Bluff, just past the West Bluff boat landing. I talked to the folks at the city about repairing it. I was told, Mr. Burnett, nobody on that road pays taxes to the city. Why should the city pay, spend any of its tax dollars to repair that road? And I says, well, sir, y'all annexed it back in 68. And there's been a lot of discussion going on. I've been talking to Mr. Slocum and stuff. Please, 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 for all of the people down there that are having problems with their vehicles and stuff, there's a meeting scheduled, I believe, on the 9th about this road with the city. Please consider taking this road back. I know from talking with Mr. Slocum, there's a $50,000 FEMA award that the city is going to have to deal with. But I think they're willing to give you the $100,000 that they got from the pipeline. This road is in bad shape, and there's several elderly people whose cars are being torn up. They've got to take their spouse to Houston, to doctors and stuff, and they're having to go buy a new vehicle because this road is torn the car up. Please, 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 please consider what you do here and look at it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Brandon Barkus. I am the lead attorney for the Citizens of the Preservation of Bessie Heights Marsh. On behalf of our organization and a lot of the regional citizens here, we just wanted to express our appreciation for your leadership from this body on our issue. As you may or may not know, Savage Inland Marine is conducting an illegal and unpermitted barge fleeting operation near the Neches River Oxbow. They call it the FINA Oxbow, which abuts and is right next to the Bessie Heights Marsh, which you all know contains thousands and thousands of acres of the most vital and sensitive eco-environment in the state of Texas. What we would like to point out is that the commission from the very beginning, Savage had taken over in May of last year, and from the very beginning the commissioner's court stood up and was passed a resolution, was in opposition to the illegal and unpermitted barge fleeting out there. And we wanted to point your attention to the timing of it was instrumental in, and we believe the commissioners came out with the pass the resolution in June, which sparked a general land office investigation where they had biologists go out there and say, look, there has been substantial damage not only to the marsh, but also the shoreline of our public waters. We also want to appreciate the letters from State Senator Robert Nichols, as well as State Representative Dade Phelan, who have both expressed that the staging area right by the Bessie Heights Marsh is unacceptable, and it puts too much of our dollars that we have put into the Bessie Heights Marsh at risk, and there is no cost-benefit analysis, which would lend yourself to making it okay to fleet barges there. What we've heard about is Savage Marine has come up with a lot of statements recently, which we've found not to be true. They've said they had 24/7 security out there, which we've heard multiple reports that they don't. We've heard them say that that it's safe and they keep them 30 yards from the shore. However, we've heard multiple reports that those spuds are breaking, and every time that they break, it puts more damage not only to the marsh and the shoreline, but increases the possibility of a spill out there. And no matter how small it is, it's going to substantially damage that marsh just because of its sensitivity. The marsh itself, and when there's a spill, it's when. It could be tomorrow. It could be 20 years from now. But the location of where we put our hazardous materials is extremely important. They also talk about that they're going to bring, you know, $30 million over the next 10 years to the local communities. Well, then they came back and said, well, it's not actually $30 million. It's $7.7 and there's some questions there as well. They've also made the statement, and I'll wrap it up. I know my 3 minutes is coming to an end here. They've also made the statement that there is a substantial need. There is a lack of barge fleeting facilities along the Neches. I would like to point your attention to a press release that I received that came out last week, which is on behalf of Marine Fueling, which is another barge fleeting facility that's not adjacent to the Bessie Heights Marsh, which is coming out with 100 spaces for 100 additional barges within the next, by the fall of 2017, 60 by the first quarter of 2017. And so we would like to ask you for your continued support and to stand by your resolution opposing the fleeting in and near the Bessie Heights Marsh, and ask them to move on down the road to or down the river to a safer place. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, we'll move on to agenda item number 12. Closed meeting held pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.071 to discuss with Assistant County Attorney anticipated litigation arbitration hearing involving Kevin Tate.
Judge Commissioners, I ask the courtroom be cleared with the exception of myself, the sheriff, and also Lori Ordoin, and also that there be no Tate.
Okay, the time is 2:52. We ask that the courtroom be cleared per the counselor's instructions. Okay, the time is 3:16, and we are on agenda item number 13, return to open meeting, take any action deemed necessary based upon discussion in closed meeting.
Judge Commissioners, based upon the discussion in closed meeting, I think a motion to reject the settlement offer would reflect the will of the court.
So moved.
Second.
Judge, for further discussion, Precinct 1.
It's an aye to affirm the rejection.
Yes. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Aye. Yeah. Aye. 2. Aye. 3.
Oh, aye.
4.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0 to reject the settlement agreement. Okay. Agenda number 14, closed meeting held pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.0711 and 2 to discuss with Assistant County Attorney pending litigation style cause number 113CV00611-RC Montano v. Orange County, Texas, in the United States District Court for the Eastern District of Texas, Beaumont Division.
Judge, I ask the courtroom to be cleared with the exception of myself, the Sheriff Chief Farmer, and outside counsel David Dalton. There be no Tate.
Okay, the time is 3:17, and if the court will be cleared per the request of counsel. Okay, the time is 4:24 p.m., and we are back in open meeting. It's agenda item number 15, return to open meeting, take any action deemed necessary based upon discussion in closed meeting.
Judge, based upon the discussion in closed session and counsel, I would invite a motion from the court to tender the amount of $3,175,674.79 in satisfaction of the judgment to be issued in the Montana case on or before February 15th.
So moved.
Second.
Judge 3. Any further discussion? Precinct 1.
Aye.
2.
Aye.
Aye. 3.
Aye.
4.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. And for one final thing to take care of, we'll go back to
fireworks.
Agenda item number 6, discussion and possible action regarding approval of an order to regulate sale of retail fireworks in Orange County. The resolution reads as follows: order to regulate sale of retail fireworks in Orange County. Whereas retail fireworks permit holders are authorized to sell fireworks to the public during the periods specified pursuant to Texas Occupations Code Section 2154.202G, and whereas Section 2154 of the Texas Occupations Code was amended effective September 1st, 2015 to include Section 2154.202H, which authorizes the Orange County Commissioner's Court to allow a retail fireworks permit holder to sell fireworks in Orange County only to the public and only during certain periods as defined by Section 2154.202H and as specified by the court. Now, therefore, pursuant to Section 2154.202H of the Texas Occupations Code, Vernon 2015, and in addition to Section 2154.202G of the Code, the Orange County Commissioner's Court orders that a retail fireworks permit holder may sell fireworks in the unincorporated areas of Orange County, Texas, as follows. 1. Beginning February 25th and ending at midnight on March 2nd. 2. Beginning April 16th and ending at midnight on April 21st. And 3. Beginning the Wednesday before the last Monday in May, and ending at midnight on the last Monday in May. Nothing herein shall affect, alter, or abrogate the right of the Orange County Commissioner's Court to regulate restricted fireworks in accordance with Section 352.051 at sequitur, Texas Local Government Codes, Vernon 2015. Passed and approved on this, the third day of January 2017. Is there a motion?
So much.
Or second. 3-1. Any further discussion?
1-3.
I'm sorry. Thank you. 1-3.
That covers all those dates, Judge. Right.
The additional dates.
Yeah, the additional dates.
That's only dates they can sell them.
These are the dates that were.
Oh, that's the additional dates.
Oh, right. Additional dates. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, they added additional.
Yeah.
So we still have New Year's and
4th of July.
Yes.
I'm kind of curious.
That's correct.
Those three other holidays, which
yes.
I don't know which
one
to go.
Texas Independence Day. April 21st is
Easter.
Is it Easter? I can't think of what that is.
That's the only thing I could think of.
And then in May, I think what?
Memorial Day.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. I was thinking Cinco de Mayo is a lot earlier in May than the last day.
Memorial Day is the 30th.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, that's for Marilyn's birthday.
Okay, so 1-3. Any further discussion? Or precinct 1?
Aye.
2?
Aye.
Aye. 3?
Aye.
4?
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0, which brings us to the final agenda item number 16, discussion of possible action regarding adjourning commissioner's court.
So moved.
Second.
4-2. Any further discussion? Precinct 1?
Aye.
2?
Aye.
3?
You're going to have to say John.
Passes 5-0. The time is 4:29 p.m. and this commissioner's court is adjourned.